You know, I was curious. So I was thinking about this last night. When you look at the entire spectrum of political emotions and stances in this state, in this country, isn't it kind of odd that we only have two major parties? I mean, when you think about Libertarian, you got the Green Party, but the Democrats and Republicans, I mean, there's room at the table, but we've never really seen it come to fruition like so many people in the Libertarian Party would like.
Absolutely. And you know what? And one of the major themes here that I would like people to understand is directly how a third party like the Libertarian Party could benefit voters in Illinois. It's not a secret that Democrats have controlled the state for a long time, that they've held a majority for a very long time, and that our districts are gerrymandered. And if we wanted to really disrupt that machine, one of the best routes that we could take would be to have an established third party within the state. And because let's be honest, to get a Republican elected in a Democrat stronghold or vice versa is extremely difficult the way that the districts are gerrymandered, whereas a Libertarian or a Green Party candidate or an independent or someone else would be able to, because there's a lot more issues that we align on. And so, like in 2016, where we had 60% of seats go unopposed, well, there's a reason for that, because Republicans know they can't get elected in those areas and vice versa. And having third parties running in these districts would help to disrupt that stronghold that they have.
Right. I think it'd give voters some leverage.
Absolutely. It gives us a tremendous amount of leverage and begins to bring the power back to the people, back into the fourth branch of government where it belongs.
You were selected from, what, three candidates in the Libertarian Party? Tell me how that selection happened.
Well, because we're not an established third party, we hold an annual state convention. And for us to become an established third party, what I need to achieve, and we will achieve, is breaking the 5% in the general election. And when we do so, we will then become an established third party within the state. There's some other nuances there to it, but that's the large hurdle that third parties have to overcome. And in doing so, what that does is it eases the ballot access restrictions that are placed upon us. Because right now, J.B. Pritzker or Jeannie Ives, when she was running, they only needed 5,000 petition signatures to get onto the ballot. I need 25,000, five times the amount for ballot access. And the same holds true for all of our statewide seats and local seats. So whenever we break through that 5%, what it allows us to do is much like what's happening in McLean County, where Gary Johnson had broke 5% there, and we have eight individuals running for local offices. And we can then begin doing that all across the state.
You began, were you pretty politically active before you joined the Navy, or is that was something that happened after, during? I mean, because you've done a lot of things. And I found it interesting, for one, that you founded a parent rights organization. But that was interesting. You've also done work in relationship to the Dakota Access Pipeline and the indigenous people there. And you've been a very active guy. When did this, I've got to go out and do something, when did that happen to you?
You know, it all began whenever I went through family court in Lake County, Illinois, and I'd been in the Navy about 18 years, I was going through a pretty rough divorce there, and just to be frank with you, I was treated like a criminal, and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that this is my country that I served for almost 20 years, and that, you know, that I could have these types of actions, levied at me inside a court where it's supposed to be unbiased. And I really thought that the system was impartial, and while not perfect, it was, pretty good. And it was there that I really realized that, man, you know what? I've been swearing an oath for nearly two decades to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And here in front of me, what I'm realizing is the greatest threat to the Constitution isn't somebody on a foreign shore. They're sitting right in front of me in a black robe. It's our elected officials. It's our judges. These are the people that are undermining our constitutional rights every single day. Yet, as a service member, I was complacent and ignorant in that fact. And when I realized it, you know what? I said, I still have a job to do. I was paid to do a job to support and defend the Constitution, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. So I decided at the end of my naval career that I'm going to run for governor.
Now, when it comes to this, all right, when you look at a state where somebody, we've got the two candidates here in the big parties, Democrat, Republican, that are money laden, we'll call it, all right, will be tactful today. Then you come onto the scene, so, and you know that you're limited financially, unlike your opponents. So really, and I've been trying to think about you and the situation that leaves you in, and you think, well, then my message has to be very, very good. And it was interesting because I was listening to you talk about the judges, and, you know, you've got this nationwide issue when it comes to law enforcement judges, FBI, out of the Trump office, where people are getting an insight that I think they're probably a little surprised when it comes to objectivity or the lack thereof. What kind of message can you carry that would drown out guys who spend millions of dollars on major media?
Well, I think one of the most important issues, especially as it pertains down into your region, is that I'm the only pro-life candidate running. Secondly, is the fact that I've been a 20-year military veteran. I have a tremendous amount of service there that has garnered me skill sets that I feel certain, while those two are, they have some skills that would carry over into politics, it's not the same as serving the people of the United States for two decades. And moreover, I've made it my mission for the last couple of years to go directly after the family court system and judges and the improprieties that are heaped upon our communities every single day. And a large part of my platform and my mission is to hunt those down that are actually committing crimes against the people, those that are swearing an oath to serve the people and protect the people and are not, and they're abusing those offices. Those are the people that I want to go after.
So you're telling me, Cash,
I don't think that that's really been done adequately in our state.
So you're telling me, Cash, that the American government is no longer control of the American people.
It is not. The American government, our state government, many of our local governments are being misrepresented, and they are abusing the citizens that they are supposed to be serving. And it's happening day in and day out, and it's nauseating. And I know that people just like myself are fed up, and they want somebody they know comes from the same type of background that they do, that has the experience necessary to go after these types of officials and isn't afraid to do it.
Do you think that that's why people haven't been going to vote for the last few years when you see voter participation? Well, and, of course, primaries, it's always down, so that's kind of fresh in my mind. But I'm wondering, because of some stuff that other reporters in Iowa and you know, when the early presidential elections, the people have gotten to the point where, you know, if I vote, that makes me dirty because I'm
right.
You know, and it's really, when the first time the guy told me that, you know how when you hear the truth and your stomach flips over and you have to come to accept something? That was one of my moments where you go, oh, I don't feel so good. And you're going, well, the reason is because you're hearing the truth.
Right. You know what? I stand firm in my belief that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. But I have to really, really convince people and ask people, you know, to take down your mental barriers, to not vote from a position of fear, because that's what a lot of people do. They say, I have to vote for the lesser of two evils because this guy, this third party guy, he doesn't stand much of a chance. And to me, that is very unprincipled, and it's not courageous. People need to be courageous. They need to step out. They need to do their research about their candidates. And if you know what, maybe I don't have billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars, but stand on your principles, stand on American values that, you know what, you're going to do the right thing even though it's a difficult choice to make. That's what I'm asking people to do.
Libertarian candidate for Governor Cash Jackson has joined us this morning. From a libertarian standpoint, what do you do with a state that is if we're not verging on insolvency, it's only because we have cash flow?
You significantly decrease the size of our government. Illinois state government, with over 7,000 local units of government, is the most bloated government in the United States. That is how we begin to come back to solvency. That is how we rein in the corruption. That is how we begin to identify where we're being bled dry as a state. And it begins with shrinking unneeded government, unneeded administrative bloat. And as a libertarian candidate, you know what? We stand on two things: maximizing individual personal freedom and limiting government. Two of our largest pieces of our platform is putting the power back in the hands of the people where it belongs.
But when you're talking about a deficit, money owed, we'll look at it that way. You throw in pension, you throw in money we've borrowed. You know, it's not hard to get to $300 billion with an average budget of around $37 billion. Can you cut your way out when you're that deep underwater?
It's going to take time. But, yeah, I'm a fan of the Illinois Policy Institute. Their 2019 budget proposal, I think it's very practical and pragmatic, beginning with our pension system, converting over to a 401k for all new state employees. So all current and past state employees, we would honor that constitutional obligation. But for all future ones, shift over to a 401k. And then with our property taxes, that is our other large issue that we have to address. I would want to cap property taxes or freeze property taxes right now for 5 years for home rule and non-home rule. Let people's wages catch up to what they're having to pay in property taxes right now. And then begin to look to roll those property taxes backwards. We need to do that, but to do so, we got to strengthen government. We need to consolidate some school districts across the state, and just put in greater fiscal reform. And one other large piece with putting that power back in the hands of the people is putting in a two-third voters referendum. So that way, our local officials can't just start raising taxes because we're rolling back property taxes. Because that'll be a route that they'll want to achieve. So let's put in a two-third voters referendum and make them get the permission of the people, all of their constituents, before raising those taxes.
You know, what's kind of interesting was from a land, you know, paying property taxes and working in being a lifelong resident of Southern Illinois. What I took away from you is letting me have a chance to catch up. Because, see, this has been going on. I get a raise and said, you know, a raise nowadays in Illinois, you got 2%, you got a raise, all right? That's pretty much the average. And you're at 2.5%, 3.3%, you're getting a good raise in the state of Illinois. But what we've been seeing is every time we get a raise, state of Illinois takes it.
Yep.
And then you get it back because they sunsetted that. And, of course, you know, both you and I know they didn't want that to happen, but it did. And then and they come back with a new, and everything that you work hard for to try to do better, the state of Illinois takes it. I think without the Republicans' Tax Reform Act, I think what's going to happen is Illinois going, the federal government's going to reduce your taxes? Well, then we're just going to take that money. I literally think that's the next thing that's going to happen in Illinois.
You're absolutely correct. That is 100% spot on. That's exactly what they will do. If we do not rein in state spending, just like the federal government, you can give me a tax break if you want to. But when you add on, you know, a huge omnibus spending bill to it, you've effectively done nothing because we're not addressing the spending. We have to address the spending first, and then everything else follows. To do so, we really need to cut our government down. We need to reduce how much money is going out. And your sweat equity, your labor, you being at work right now is time away from your family. And for every individual out there, that's a sacrifice you're making for your family. And you should keep the majority of what you earn. It shouldn't be going to our state.
How, Cash, can you make the Libertarian Party different than, say, what the Green Party is for the Democrats, the Libertarian Party is for some Republicans? How do you grow beyond that perception? And I want to make sure to point out the word perception. How do you break outside that box?
Look, if we were to, number one, people have to understand a little bit of the historical aspect of the Libertarian Party. And had our country adhered to our party principles for a much longer period of time, we wouldn't have had the Civil Rights Era. We wouldn't have had slavery or Jim Crow or women's suffrage or gay rights. Any of these things never would have occurred because we recognize the right of an individual to live how they want to live without the interference of the government, as long as you're not harming another person. We are dramatically different than Republicans or Democrats. A lot of what we see Republicans and Democrats doing now is what libertarians like Ron Paul have been advocating for over two decades. It just wasn't popular back then. But now we're waking up to realizing that, you know what, maybe it's not fiscally or morally responsible to put somebody behind bars for smoking pot or for taking medicinal marijuana. Maybe it's not, maybe the government has no business in the institution of marriage, whether you believe in gay marriage or traditional marriage. The government shouldn't be involved, period. And more people are beginning to understand that, and the Libertarian Party is the party which operates on the government should not be involved in the majority of the decision-making processes that you and your family make at your home and at your place of work. You should be able to make those choices. That is freedom, my friend. That is liberty.
You know, it's interesting. I was listening to Don Henley this weekend. I had some time off. And there was a song, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. And that's what I was thinking when I heard, can we put the genie back in the bottle? And you know, that genie we're talking about in this was because, you being a Navy guy, that really genies are gin. And gin, the spirits that these stories are told about, are always bad, without exception, right? And I wonder, can you put a bad genie back in the bottle if he doesn't want to go?
We can, but you know what? It's going to require voter turnout. It's going to require people being brave and stepping out into an area in which they've never stepped out before. I invite people to research the Libertarian Party, research myself as a candidate. And you're right. I've been out to Standing Rock, North Dakota. I went out there to defend the constitutional right of Native Americans. I mean, we have an obligation to honor treaties. The United States has broken every treaty that we've ever entered into, and that's representative of the people. We are the government, and so when we broke those treaties, that's representative of the American people. I swore to support and defend that Constitution, and I intend to do so, and that's why I'm running for governor. And so we really need people to kind of just snap out of it, get involved, volunteer for the campaign, and come out in masses in November and show the Republicans and Democrats that, you know what, we're really fed up with how you have handled the state, how you've misrepresented us and our values, and we want to move beyond the Illinois that we're in right now today.
Libertarian candidate for governor in the state of Illinois, Cash Jackson. Cash, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much. If you give me one plug, I'm going to be down in Marion on the 6th at the VFW down there, so right. People can come out that evening. Would love to meet you.
Yeah, okay. What time is that again?
I believe it's at 6 p.m. on the 6th.
All right, in Marion at the VFW this coming Friday.
Yes, sir.